Good morning again. And I was joking earlier, but I really do appreciate everyone praying for me and lifting me up. They said the surgery went fine. I'm not any smarter, but my blood flow is supposed to be increased. So that's a plus. We started a series. I had to stop and think of the word. In Galatians. I've never done a series in Galatians. I've been wanting to, and I felt like the Lord gave me leave. Last week, we talked about there is no other gospel. And recap real quick, some from the Pharisee party who were Christians claimed that in order for a Gentile to be saved, they had to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. So in other words, they were teaching, first you got to become a Jew, then you got to obey the Torah, then you can be saved. Paul defended that against that point very vehemently. He and Barnabas went to Jerusalem and took Titus, a Greek, with them. And the elders and the apostles at the Jerusalem church sent letters out to the Gentile churches and said, we never sent these men. We do not expect that of you, and neither does the Lord. Well, today I want to talk about the testimony of Paul, speaking to the Galatians. We all have a testimony. We should be willing to share it. But I find a lot of times, as believers, we don't think we have a good a testimony to somebody. We didn't axe murder somebody and then get saved in prison. And a guy in the Nazarene church heard my testimony about my drug abuse and stuff. And nobody's heard all of it, and they won't unless God says, you're going to tell this. But he told me, I wished I had your testimony, brother. I got saved when I was 13. I got married when I was 19. I was a virgin when I got married. I never used alcohol, tobacco, drugs. And I said, you got a better testimony than me because I was an idiot. I said, your testimony, you need to share that with the teens because you're living proof that God got you through those difficult years without having to do what other teens, or thinking you had to do what the other teens did. And so Paul loved to share his testimony. And in most of his letters, I told you, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. In just about every one of his letters, he shares a part of his testimony. And he does that today with the Galatians, and that's what we're going to talk about. The text is from Galatians 1, 11 through 24. I know that's kind of a long text, but please put up with it. Paul said, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it is the truth. Father, I pray that you will encourage us this morning, that you will strengthen our faith and help us to realize that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And it's by your grace alone, not by anything that we can do to earn it. I ask you, bless me as I preach this word, that I may preach it the way you want it presented. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. As I said last week, we saw that there were people came into the Gentile churches. The book of Acts says from the Pharisee party or Pharisee sect, and the Pharisee were one of the strictest observers of the law. And in spite of the apostles and elders deciding in a church meeting, they said, no, we're not going to require that. Peter spoke up and said, we couldn't keep the law. Why do you want to put that burden on them? And the church said, you're right. And they sent the letters out. Well, these people in this church, that church, not this church, but that church, they took it upon themselves, well, we don't agree, and we're going to go out and tell them that anyway. And I told you that still goes on today. There are professed Christians, and I call them Christian cults, and I only call them Christian because they profess that. They did that, and they don't teach this word. In fact, they've had to write different Bibles and different studies in order to back up what they're saying. And you remember what Paul said last week, whether we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let them be accursed. And that was a very strong curse. It means eternally condemned, eternally damned. These men had come into the church, and some of the Galatians were struggling. Some of them went ahead and agreed. I read that the Caesar of that day said the Galatian people were very fickle. Said they just jumped back and forth from one belief to another, from one conviction to another. He said they were hard people to rule. They were fickle. Well, when Peter was in the church and Paul and Barnabas went to the church and they had this debate and then they made a decision, it says in Acts 11, then to the Gentiles God has also granted repentance that leads to life. I told you last week, most of the Jews believed that salvation was only for the Jews. And if you wanted to be saved, you had to become a Jew. And the church made the decision, sent these letters out. In spite of these letters, some of these people said, well, we don't agree with you, so we're going to teach what we're going to teach. And it still goes on today, I'm sorry to say. Today's text, we're going to look at Paul's personal testimony. First, I want to look at Saul the persecutor. He said, you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism, but beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. I want a quick break here. Paul was a very religious man, but he was not a saved man. Religion will make you critical, bitter, judgmental in most places. You develop a sense of pride, arrogance. I live different than other people. I keep the law. They don't. And that was the attitude the Jews had. Paul was educated at the feet of a man named Gamaliel, who was one of the highest respected Pharisees of his day. Most of that education started at 5 years of age. His parents had money, or they couldn't have afforded it. Now, I'm sharing things with you that I've read. And Paul was convinced that he was called by God to destroy these Christians. The Holy Spirit's not in that. When I hear of so-called Christians, they claim they're blowing up abortion clinics and doing things like that because God told them to do that. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't tell us to be violent with people. You know, the Muslims, I've read the Quran in English, and Muslims are taught it's okay to kill infidels, that's a non-Muslim, because they're not part of us. That's a spirit of religion. And if you don't know, I'll tell you, that spirit is from the Antichrist. It's from Satan, the great opposer. So Paul said, I was zealous for the traditions of my fathers. You remember Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because he said, by your traditions you have nullified the commandments of God. And I read that they had some 600 traditions that they added to the law. So this is what Paul's admitting out of his own mouth. I was trained in the law, but all these traditions. Paul would have been trained in Jewish philosophy, Greek philosophy, literature. He was a highly educated man. In today's world, he'd have been called Dr. Saul. He had that kind of an education. He had zeal, but it was misguided. You can be zealous for things that you consider to be good and they're not, and that kind of zeal does not impress God. Paul thought that he lived a righteous life before God, therefore he was God's son, child, through the law, and therefore he had a right to kill anybody. These Jewish Christians, he felt they were traitors, and he wanted them killed for what they were doing. He told a young minister named Timothy after Saul's conversion, "Formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent." Now in his testimony, he had a lot of negative things, but he wasn't afraid to share it with the church. Luke reminds that before Paul was converted, he writes, "Saul, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Now, I mention this because Luke, we owe great debt to him. The book of Acts is an historical account. It was a personal letter to a man named Theophilus, teaching him about the Christian faith he had received. But Luke knew Paul before he was Paul. And he writes in his account, Saul was a barn burner. He vehemently went after the Christians. He hated them. And he felt they needed to be wiped out and destroyed. Luke records that 14 years after his conversion, Paul went to Jerusalem to preach the gospel. That took a lot of courage. Because he went there originally 3 years, and they wanted to kill him, and the apostles sent him back to Cilicia. Tarsus was there. That was his hometown. They sent him back. They said, "We got to get you out of here. These people are going to kill you." 14 years later, he comes back to preach, and they try to kill him. If you're familiar with that passage, in Acts 22, a riot starts. They accuse him of bringing a Greek into a temple, which he didn't do. But they're going to stone him, and a Roman centurion has to drag Paul away from that crowd. And Paul says, "Can I share my testimony with these people?" And the guy said, "Well, yeah, go ahead." And this is what Paul said. "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia and brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day." And it said when Paul started speaking in Hebrew, the crowd got quiet. They said, "Oh, okay, he's one of our boys. We're going to listen and see what he has to say." He said, "I persecuted this way to the death." That's what the church was called before they ever called them Christians. It was called the sect of the way, because these early Christians were going into a pagan, multi-deist world and saying there's only one God and there's only one way to get to him. Boy, I hope the church will get that kind of zeal back. He said, "I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished." Now, I'm giving you this background because the Galatians, I don't think they were familiar with this part of Saul. They had met Paul. He helped establish the church in Galatia. He spent 2 years in Asia preaching and teaching. So that's the Paul they knew, and there's a reason why Paul is sharing this testimony with them. Remember, these are legalistic Jews coming in and saying, "Well, you got to be circumcised and obey Moses' law." So Paul's saying, "Hey, when I was Saul, I was circumcised and I was under the law of Moses and I kept it pretty good, but I was a mean-spirited, critical, murderous man, a blasphemer." That's what religion does. Yeah. That's all religion can do for you. Apart from being born again, that's why Jesus said you have to be born again. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. These Galatians had been born again. They'd been baptized into Christ. We'll see that later. Paul brings that up in Galatians. But what is he doing? He's telling them, "This is the man I was, and I followed the law." These people are telling you, "You need to be circumcised and obey the law and believe in Jesus." He said, "It doesn't work. You're still a hard-hearted sinner. When you're, even if you're trying to obey the law, there's no change of heart." There's still churches preach that today. It said when Paul got to the part that "God sent me to the Gentiles," that's when the crowd screamed, "Kill him." So again, this time he was arrested. And he appealed to Caesar because he was a Roman citizen, so they sent him to Rome. After his encounter with Jesus Christ, Saul humbled himself. You know that's what it takes to be saved? You have to humble yourself. Because if you can read the Bible and God can tell you, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one seeks after God. No one understands. And if you're not careful, you can go, well, now, wait a minute, God, I'm not in that class. You know I'm a good person. I've never raped anybody or murdered or stole. And my neighbor, he's a bad person, but I'm not as bad. God doesn't look at it that way. He's holy. And you and I aren't. You have to humble yourself and accept that. Imagine this Pharisee being confronted by the Lord. And those years, he said, I spent in Arabia. I think Paul had to unlearn everything he had thought that he knew. And he had to humble himself and realize, God, I'm not righteous. I thought I was, but I'm not. And it's at this time that Paul said that the Lord himself taught him the gospel. He didn't have a big ego and thinking, I don't need anybody to teach me. But he needed some alone time. Paul spent 3 years being taught by God. I believe he was reading the law for the first time and the prophets with open eyes because he had the Holy Spirit. And he also felt, I better talk to God before I try to talk to people. It's too sad today. Too many preachers don't do that. We don't talk to God and say, show me what you want me to preach. Tell me what you want me to preach and give me the ability to do it. We have a Bible college degree and we think, well, I'm okay. You know, I've had hermeneutics. Herman who? Hermeneutics. Was that Jesse Nudick's brother? No. Hermeneutics is where you take something from 2,000 years ago and try to make it pertinent to today. They call that scriptural hermeneutics. I'm just sharing something with you. I won't charge you for that. But Paul spent time with God. He talked to God. He let God talk to him. Do you know prayer is a two-way thing? So very often we lift up our prayer to God and say, God, I want this, this, that, that, and this, this. Thank you. And we don't wait to hear from you. How many times do we read the word and say, well, boy, I appreciate your word, but we never honestly say, what do you mean by this, Lord? James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who will give to you liberally without upbraiding or finding fault with you. But too often we don't ask him. We think we got it all figured out. I'm saying that to say, I think this is what was going on with Paul for 3 years. The Pharisees, most of them, had to memorize the first 5 books of Moses. I do good if I can memorize 3 verses. They're memorizing 5 books. And I imagine Paul, he humbled and said, Lord, I thought I had this figured out. I thought I understood this. And the Lord goes, no, but now you will. That's why we need the Holy Spirit, church. He's not to be feared. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in love, whatever you want to call it. We need him. The Bible is a spiritually discerned book, and without the Holy Spirit, you will not discern it. You will become religious. You will become sanctimonious instead of being sanctified. Sanctimonious is self-righteous. Sanctified is being set apart by God for a holy purpose. Paul was sanctimonious. And that's what he's sharing with the Galatian church. And I'm giving you a few other places where he shared. Because Paul openly admitted, I didn't know. I just didn't. I thought I did, but I realized I didn't. Paul went to Arabia. He spent time speaking to God, letting God speak to him. He spoke of his foreordained plan for Paul. He realized then, God, before I was born, God called me to preach the gospel. Who told him that? God. Now, you know I'm not a Calvinist. I don't hold with a lot of the Calvinist teaching, but I do believe in predestination. I believe the plan of salvation was predestined before God ever created the world. I do believe that God can foreordain you before you're born for a purpose. Now, there's only 3 men in the Bible that it says that happened to. That was Moses, Jeremiah, and Paul. Where God specifically said, I set you apart before you were even born. But a lot of the other stuff in Calvinism, I can't get into. I can't get behind it. But I got 2 passages I want to share with you that convinced me that Saul, the apostle, or the persecutor who became Paul the apostle, the insight God gave him into this. He said, in love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us with in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ. 11 times in this passage, this is Ephesians 1, 4 through 9, 11 times in this passage, Paul shares that he learned that he did not earn salvation by what he was doing, in other words, by trying to keep the law, but rather it was God's design and grace that he be saved. Now he again confirmed this in the second chapter of this same text, Ephesians. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Is that predestination? This means yes and this means no. This means I'm afraid to answer. Yes. Why was Paul sharing this with the Ephesians and the Philippians? Because the same people that went into Galatia went into all these other churches trying to teach the same thing. You see the evidence of it in about every letter he wrote. He brings up the fact, you cannot be justified by trying to obey the law of Moses. We couldn't obey it. You can't obey it. Now, later on in Galatians, we're going to go into Paul talking, why did God give us the law if it wasn't to justify us, if it wasn't to save us? And he does an excellent job in explaining it. But we don't have time to get into that today. God prepared works for you and for me before we were ever born. Yeah. God knew that you and that I would be saved before we were ever born. That is predestination, church. Now, the Calvinists say God predestined some people to be damned. I had an uncle who was an elder in the Presbyterian church, and he said, well, if you're born to be saved, you can't be damned. If you're born to be damned, you can't be saved. You know my theological rebuttal for that. I'm not going to spit all over my sermon sharing that with you. There's nothing scriptural about that. The Bible doesn't teach it. God, in his omnipotence, in his omniscience, his all knowledge, he knows every one of us. God doesn't see past, present, future. God just sees. And he knows who will and will not accept the scriptures. Yeah. God didn't say, well, I think I'll save Rick, but I'm going to damn his dad. I don't like Jerry. My dad made that choice. Yeah, I shared the gospel 2 weeks with him before he died. He said, I don't want to hear that crap. I'm not afraid of God. Let him judge me, because I don't think I've done anything bad enough to be judged for. And anyway, I don't believe in God. I said, all right, I'll never mention it again. And I didn't. Do I feel guilty for that? Yes, yeah, sometimes I think I should have just hammered on him. But I knew my dad, he's a lot like I am, or I'm a lot like he was. I don't like being hammered on. You know, and I just felt a release from the Lord. Not trying to put my dad down. I loved him dearly. I miss him. But I had a guy to shoot her soul. I'm sure your dad's looking down on us, grinning. I said, he's probably looking up. I don't think my dad's in heaven looking down. I'm not his judge. But my point is, he made his choice. There were a lot of people came and shared the gospel with him when he had cancer. And he was always polite, but he'd say, I'm not interested. So I believe in predestination. I believe God predetermined the plan of salvation. The Bible said Jesus is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. That means before God ever created the universe, he already had it planned because he knew what was going to happen. And I agree with C.S. Lewis. It is amazing that he went ahead and did it anyway, knowing what it was going to cost to redeem us. But he did. Now, what's the point of this that I'm sharing with you? Paul is telling these churches, look, I was one of these guys till I met Jesus. Jesus Christ changes you. If you allow him, he molds you into the man and the woman that he wants you to be. But you have a free will, Christian. You can say no. And he's not going against that will. He's not going to force you to be saved. Satan has always opposed God, has he not? The first account we read of that is in Genesis chapter 3. It said God created the man, the woman, all creation, and he looked at them and said, they're very good. And Satan said, aha, no, I got to do something here. And to this day, he opposes God. At this time, he was opposing God. He was the spirit behind these men that were coming in and teaching this. He's called the Antichrist because it means he is against Christ. These teachings were against the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul's sharing his testimony with these Galatians, saying, look, I used to be one of these people, and you've never heard me preach the law, have you? Did I ever preach circumcision to you? No. He said, I preach to you the grace of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, not works. Now, are Christians expected to do good works? Yes. Did God prepare that in advance? Yes. But if you think you have to obey the Levitical dietary law and worship on Saturday and do some other stuff in order to be saved, you are misled. You've been deceived. And my prayer is that God will open your eyes. I pray that for this church. Not that I think there are necessarily people here believe, but I pray that. I pray this for me. Don't let me be deceived. God, don't let me deceive these people, your sheep. Don't let them be deceived and led astray. This is what Paul's doing. He has a heart for these people. He helped establish his church. These are his people. And they're Gentiles. And before his conversion, he wouldn't have gave them the time of day, but he loves them now. And in love, he's saying, look, you are in a bad place, a dangerous place. Paul defended and proved his opening statement. He said, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached to me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that we know there's people today, I've seen several in my lifetime, heard them teach and say, well, an angel told me, and thank God I had enough Sunday school upbringing when I attended this church as a child, I knew. God doesn't use angels to do that, church. He uses the Holy Spirit. And if that offends you, I don't care. It's the truth. God does not send angels to give us insight and revelation. We have the written word, the complete written word, and we have the Spirit of Christ within us. Jesus said that's what we need. He defended that he had been taught by the Lord God. He further proved that it was his encounter with the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that had changed him and saved him. It wasn't the law. Saul, the persecutor of the faith, became Paul, the preacher of the faith. He who was determined to destroy the faith spent the rest of his life and eventually gave his life building up the faith and teaching those whom he had preached to and had come to Christ. The Bible says Paul devastated the church. This is interesting. William Barclay said the Greek word for devastated is the same word to describe someone sacking a city. And if you've ever heard of people being sacked, looted, we've seen it in these riots, you know, the media cover. It's terrible. Paul was in the business of trying to take everything that belonged to these Jewish Christians, including their lives. But Saul the persecutor was now Paul the preacher. Only Jesus Christ can do that, church. You can step up and say, well, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher of God, but apart from the Holy Spirit, you're just spitting in the wind. I know that's a lewd, but that's what you're doing. You have a religious spirit, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And I'm talking about that as Christians in any cause. It's okay to think, well, maybe God wants me to do this, and then you find out he doesn't. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you stand up and contradict the Bible, the written word of God, and you teach things that are not in this book, God help you. Paul said you're in danger of eternal damnation and cursing. And the purpose of this today, his testimony, Paul always shared his shame with these believers. He wasn't compelled, he wasn't forced to give his testimony, but the reason he shared his sinful past was to tell these people, you don't want to go this way. I'm trying to save you some trouble. Don't go that way. You're not going to like the end result of it. That's what he's saying to these people. All right, I want to close with a passage out of Philippians. Again, another church that was being plagued with this. And Paul said to the Philippian church, we Christians, we are the real circumcision who worship the Father by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. You remember what Jesus told the woman of Samaria? God's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. She said, well, we worship on Mount Gerizim. You guys say we got to go to Jerusalem. He said, no, you're both wrong. We worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what he requests. That's what he wants. For though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. Now he's reverting back to talking like Saul the Pharisee. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Boy, he's going on now. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness under the law, blameless. That's a big claim. Paul said, I was blameless. I kept the law. But whatever gain I had, now he's switching back to Paul. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything loss because of surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. That Greek word rubbish literally means doo-doo. Wow. Paul said, I count that all as doo-doo, crap, whatever you want to call it. I won't call it the other things, but that's how strongly Paul felt against the old life that he lived. The righteousness he perceived that he had. He said, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Paul realized that he was not called to comfort, but to conflict. He was not called to honor, but to humility. He realized my life, my goal is to honor the one who saved me. That ought to be every Christian's heart's desire, church. It ought to be our desire in our life. We pray that sometimes at the table and opening prayers. May this service honor you. That's our choice to honor him. Okay? If I get up here and play guitar and sing and I'm trying to impress you, that doesn't mean a thing to God. No. But if I'm up there playing guitar and singing and in order to worship and to lead you in worship, that's acceptable. Same way with specials. If you want to sing a special because you want to try to show off your talents, doesn't mean a thing to God. Jesus said you got your reward right there, the applause. That's all the reward you're going to get. Yeah. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying him and glorifying the Father. He said, I want to gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness his, not mine, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now, I've had some say, well, that almost sounds like Paul's talking about works and our salvation. That's not what he's talking about. You remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, and it's here right now, when the dead will hear my voice and those who hear will live. And then he said, the hour is also coming when all who are in their graves. This is the resurrection Paul's talking about. It's not the physical one, because we're all going to be raised physically. It's the spiritual resurrection. Did you know before you came to Christ spiritually, you were dead to God? We talked about that. Paul said the word of God didn't make a bit of sense to you. In fact, it was foolish. You had to be born again. You had to receive the Spirit. You had to be baptized into Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and humble yourself and listen to him as he taught you the word. That's the resurrection Paul's talking about. I've heard some say, well, wait a minute now. Then is Paul saying there is no resurrection of some people? That's what some people teach. That's not what Paul's saying. He's talking about that spiritual resurrection. The life that Jesus Christ offers us, we should all desire that. And if you ever think you've reached the point that you don't need that anymore, God help you. You're in for a big fall. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ. Paul said, I'm not satisfied where I'm at now. I'm pressing, I'm pushing. How's that done? Paul was studying the word. Paul was praying. He was still talking to God. He was seeking God and saying, what do you want me to do? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to change? What do you want me to teach? The Bible says the wise win souls. James said we need to pray for wisdom. How do I deal with these people? What do I say to these people? If you'll ask God that, God will open the door for you. I've seen it happen too many times in my own life. Paul said, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Paul said, you started out with Christ, you finish with Christ. You spend the rest of your life with Christ. You don't follow the doctrines and dogmas of men. And if you sincerely want to know if it's the truth or not, if you pray, God will reveal it to you. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It cannot be obtained by any attempt to keep the law. Paul will confirm this in the third chapter of this letter to the Galatians. We still have chapter 2 to go through. I hope you will be patient with me and that you will attend these sessions as we talk about law versus grace. Because there are a lot of voices out there today trying to tell us, I said last week, well, you got to believe in Jesus, but you got to be baptized into our organization or you can't be saved. And that's no different than what these Judaizers were trying to tell these Christians. Jesus isn't enough. You need to believe in him. He died for our sins, thank God. He shed his blood, but if you want to be forgiven, you have to join our group. That's a lie from the pit of hell, church. And if that offends you, I apologize, but I don't back up from it. That's where it came from. Would you please stand with me? You're saying, thank God he's done. I get wound up about this. Jesus Christ is the one who saved me and changed me and turned me into a different man. It wasn't going to church. It wasn't trying to follow what a preacher was saying. It was the Spirit of God within me. And I'm like Paul. I want to defend the faith. It really irritates and offends me when I hear people trying to teach something different. But I try to be gracious, be gentle. Paul told Timothy we're to be gentle and able to teach. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm still working on the gentle and the able to teach. Yeah, I need a lot of help with that, but you're really going to have to help me with the gentle, because I've been told by a lot of people, you're pretty harsh and coarse. Okay.